This is the Pittsburgh Founders Series brought to you by Huntington Bank. They hang out with me on all the coolest, most fun projects. I have so much fun doing this series. I talk to the people that are starting stuff, making things happen. And today we're talking to Jordan Joltz. She's from True Summit Solutions. Jordan, I'm so excited to talk to you today. I know you have an awesome story, and I think our listeners are going to agree. So no pressure.
None at all.
Exactly. But first off, thanks for taking the time to be part of this. We really love putting a spotlight on people that are making a difference. They're just trying to create something new and provide value, provide service, and make this region better. So we're going to talk about that today, just a little bit. So it's going to be fun stuff. I'm looking forward to it. So, Jordan, I always like starting off with people's background. Tell us about yourself real quickly. I mean, you've got a pretty good history here in Pittsburgh's tech sector. You've done lots of things here. Yeah. And I was pretty excited to learn that you started your own thing, especially like during COVID.
I know.
Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Before we were thinking about what you were thinking, what were you doing all before you founded True Summit Solutions?
Yeah, sure. So I have been around the Pittsburgh area for quite some time,
yeah.
And I'll call myself sort of a haphazard technology
person,
right? So,
yeah.
You know, my background and, you know, in school, my degree is mm-hmm. economics, has nothing to do with technology.
Whoa, okay.
I remember at the time I went to West Virginia University, so yep. Shout out, let's go Mountaineers.
All right.
Do that. And I remember them introducing the management information systems course. And I remember thinking that was interesting, but
yeah.
That's as far as my thought went with it.
Okay.
So that was never my background, but I found myself working with organizations where I ended up as somewhat of a liaison between
right.
the business and technology. And frankly, that's still what I do today.
Absolutely.
So over the years, I've, you know, had various stints in project and program management.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked as a business analyst. I've worked in business development, spent a lot of time in sales, building relationships with both internal and external customers. And, you know, when I got into program and project management, that's where I really got into kind of heavier tech, learning more about that landscape, that ecosystem, cloud technology, and all of those things. But, you know, I still would consider myself very much in between the business and
yeah.
technology. And I think what's so important in this ecosystem, and you've, you know, I'm sure talked to a lot of different people, when you speak to engineers, they speak a certain way. When you talk to,
we have a
you
whole
know,
podcast based just on that. Yes.
I bet you do. When you speak to, you know, business owners or, you know, operations or sales professionals, they speak an entirely different language. So it's really important to be able to figure out how to translate between.
And keep everybody happy so the
yeah.
engineers are happy and the customers are happy.
Yeah.
And nothing gets lost in translation between that. That's tricky stuff, without
right.
a doubt.
And there's a place for both sides.
Of
there
course.
Has to be
Oh,
both
yeah,
sides.
Exactly. The engineers got to build it, but the customers need to be able to actually use it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you get to learn a lot on both sides, obviously, then doing that, which makes a lot of sense that, like, wait a second, doing my own thing here makes just a lot of sense.
Yeah.
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 So are you from Pittsburgh originally?
I'm actually from West Virginia. I'm from Wheeling.
Oh, you're from
Virginia.
Wheeling. Oh, super cool,
yeah.
man. Excellent.
Yeah,
very
so
cool.
Pittsburgh was our city growing up.
Gotcha.
Right? So
yeah.
close to home. Moved away for a few years, but came back.
My only connection to Wheeling is my dad went to Wheeling Jesuit University.
Oh,
yes.
Yes. So actually, I went there for my first year of college and
okay.
then transferred. And my mother actually worked there for 15 years.
Nice.
She worked in technology there.
See, Pittsburgh, a couple degrees.
Yeah,
simple
there you
as
go.
That.
There
so
you
what
go.
What brought you to Pittsburgh then?
My work, frankly.
Definitely.
You know, I was looking for a role out of school, and, you know, it was close by, and I was always curious. And so that's really what brought me here.
Well, we're glad you're in Pittsburgh and
as
continue to stay here. Not just stay here, but build something.
Yes.
So tell me, like, obviously, working many different tech jobs here, you know, doing this in-between role, as you've been just describing to us. And at some point, you say to yourself, like, wait a second, like, I want to do this myself. Like, to me, that's like, it's a bold move, because I know in positions like you had before, like, I mean, you can make a pretty good living, you know, a lot of mobility and lots of flexibility and having a lot of fun and making sure that you don't have to necessarily worry about getting paid every 2 weeks or dealing with
right.
pop-up HR problems and various crazy things like that. So
right.
What made you decide that, like, I want to do this myself? Is it a thought that you could do it better? You saw a need in the market that just wasn't being addressed? Like, I always, like, what was going on in your mind?
Yeah. So for me, I spent the last 6 to 7 years building a practice for a different consulting firm.
Gotcha.
And got a lot of experience doing that. Prior to that, I was working in, with the same technology that we implement today, and that's Salesforce. And then doing that, you know, they had brought me on to build that practice. And I spent a lot of time doing that. And I thought to myself, you know, I kind of want to take this to the next level. I want to take the next step.
I want to build
the company.
That's so cool.
Right?
That's why we do this because I want to build a company, damn it. I love it.
You know, and so I started having conversations. And there was, you know, a decent amount of time, you know, around making this decision.
Of course.
And, you know, I started having conversations with other entrepreneurs that I knew in my network.
So they were kind of with you. What about
drink
this?
The Kool-Aid. but also talked with, you know, organizations and relationships that I'd built over the years and companies, and talked to them about some of the things that they need, you know, mm-hmm. understanding within the space that we work in. And that's, you know, CRM technology,
right.
software implementation. What is it that they need? And just had open conversations, learning and listening.
I love it.
And figuring out, does that align with, you know, what I believe to be true, what my values are?
Gotcha.
And is that a gap we could fill and I could fill? And it just kept being a resounding yes.
I love it.
So there were so many things that were coming up, of course. But at the end of the day, it all just had to do with, you know, adding value and thinking about, and I'll still continue to be in this liaison sort of mediator in between the different areas of the business.
Oh, that'll just be one of a trillion things you're going to be doing.
Right. But so, you know, it was just that. It was a series of lots of conversations.
I like it. So it was a slow progression. It started moving, but then you had conversations with other people and talking with clients and so forth out in the marketplace, it started to become apparent. But then there's a certain point where you say to yourself, I'm going to do it. Is that like jumping off the high dive or something
that? Or a bridge, you know, less safe.
Less safe, exactly. Not sure what's at the bottom of the river as you plunge in there as far as it goes.
Right.
But something pushed you over the edge where you simply said, I'm going to do it. But you also made that decision during COVID, right?
Before COVID.
Okay. Oh, even worse, right?
I know.
Oh my goodness. What was it like when you're like, hey, I'm starting this company, and like a few months later, it's like, oh my God, the bottom's dropping out of everything, right?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. You know, of course not in the plan, but yeah, the decision was, you know, it's really, I guess, something I've always kind of believed in, just you've got to go for it. Like mm-hmm. no risk, no reward type of thing.
Most definitely.
You know, take the risk, lose the chance, all of those things. So I think I just made that decision and I just went all in. I don't believe you can't, you know, half anything. I'll say
okay.
use your whole to do these things. So I just made that decision. And, you know, then when COVID happened, you know, we were, you know, it was just starting to kind of ramp up, working on, you know, a couple, you know, contracts, and nobody knew what was going on, right? So it was all unknown. It wasn't as if anyone had a plan. And to be honest, mm-hmm. I think that was, there was somewhat of a silver lining.
I was going to ask you, I feel like, yeah, if anyone's going to find a silver lining, I think it would be you. You're pretty resilient from what I can tell, right?
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Most definitely.
I think that's the only way to live. Right. I think if we focus on everything positive and try to, you know, acknowledge all the negatives, mm-hmm. learn from those things and move forward, life's too short.
Absolutely.
So
has anyone in your family started a company before?
Yeah. So ironically, two people in my family. So my grandfather, back in the 70s, owned a welding manufacturing business.
Cool.
And, I think he had that business for about 15 years.
Nice.
Or so.
Okay. Okay.
That was based out of West Virginia. My mother, I think, had her own business, remodeling homes and construction.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a little bit of an entrepreneurial streak,
something like that,
in the Joltz family, right?
You know, it's interesting because that was never my thought. I was never like, well, let me build on this. It was just sort of what I wanted to do. And, you know, it's interestingly connected.
I just feel like it takes a ton of confidence to drop everything and say, I'm going to start something. I know I couldn't do it. there's a reason why I've been at the tech council for 24 years.
Because it's so great.
Exactly. I get paid every 2 weeks, man. I love it.
it's a different reality. It's a different feeling, mm-hmm. and it's terrifying. Yeah. Anybody that tells you they aren't, isn't telling the truth.
Okay, good. Yeah. So there's moments of terror though, but you like the adrenaline rush though, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, again, you know, life's too short, and I think building experiences, building relationships, learning from each mm-hmm. other, building awesome solutions that live on for years to come. That's what it's all about anyway. So if you have a vision and have a, you know, the drive to want to create that, more people should be doing it. And I think that so many people are too afraid to do it. And it's real fear.
Oh, yeah. It's it's called not making your mortgage payment, man.
And so, you know.
That's what drives me on everything.
it should. I suppose that's responsible.
But I think about it too much.
it was, you know, just that decision was made. And fortunately, through COVID, we've been able to land some really great clients.
Oh, that's awesome. That's what I want to hear. Very cool. So, you're able to start landing some clients and start building things up. So, has it been crazy, like, starting to scale? Because, I mean, it's become something where it's like, oh, my gosh, I have these clients. But it's like, oh, my God, I got to actually, like, execute here. And then you got to have people execute for you. And that's when the randomness begins, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's an
It's one thing to tell yourself you're going to get up every day and do something, but then the other people saying, well, you're going to be doing this for me and yourself as well, too.
Yeah, it's been wild. So we've grown 297% between last year and this
Let's
year.
Just round up and say 300.
Yeah. Okay. I like to say the specific numbers there, but it's the truth. So
that's amazing. Okay.
It's crazy scale, amazing growth.
So how many folks are working for you
now? We have about 10.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
Wild.
Holy geez. Are they all in Pittsburgh? Are they around the different locations?
We have a distributed. We've got several folks in PA, but distributed elsewhere as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys are all about Salesforce implementation, right? That is your jam in and out. You don't do anything else, do you? Do you do anything else?
So we center everything around Salesforce implementation, but a lot of times what that means, because Salesforce can become a hub within an organization.
Most definitely.
We spend a lot of time doing data strategy and integration, strategic planning around a CRM implementation.
Definitely.
Roadmaps, you know, helping organizations figure out how to use it.
Because I know with Salesforce, obviously it's like the tool that pretty much 99.9% of every organization uses, but I bet you 100% aren't using it to its fullest capacity, right? And they're feeling kind of let down by it to a certain degree. And you being able to go in there and solve business problems that they're having because of not using it or adding new capabilities to it they didn't know they could add, it's probably pretty cool stuff.
That's exactly right. And it's expensive.
Yeah. It's not cheap the last time I checked on a Salesforce license, right?
Right. But that is exactly what we do. We spend a lot of time helping people and organizations make the most out of their investment.
Definitely.
Figure out how to unwind unnecessary complexities, if they've been implemented that way, so that it's easy for users to take advantage of. And it's producing the data and the information that's important for businesses to grow.
Right.
And most importantly, connect to their own customers.
That's what it's all about at the end of the day, because they got to connect with their customers, keep them happy, and sell more to them.
Yeah.
So do you often integrate with like an IT team within a company? Mm-hmm. And does it get weird when like the IT team has like Jordan and her team come in there saying, hey, let me show you how to use this?
I have a comment, but I'll reserve.
Okay. This is beyond PG-13 here.
No.
You told me what your first word was.
That was just to set the stage about how this conversation should go. But yes, we embed with IT organizations, with business operations organizations. Salesforce, because it's now being positioned as a platform, not just your customer relationship management or CRM.
Right, right.
You build lots of different applications for lots of different business purposes. And IT is usually a big part of that because, we have to integrate with legacy systems, work with existing systems instances that are already in place for that company or that organization, and develop new technologies. Mm-hmm. So that's always the case. So we like to establish a collaborative effort,
most definitely,
where we're embedding into the team and most importantly helping them learn and understand how to use Salesforce, because a lot of times we are brought in when an organization doesn't have the expertise or, is in the process of developing it. And we help them develop that. And even to the extent to help them understand what sorts of roles they need, what are the skill sets they should be sourcing in the marketplace, interfacing with their HR group sometimes and helping them to support those recruiting efforts.
Wow. Good Lord, man. You guys, you're touching every aspect of the organization
at
that point.
Yes, absolutely. And to me, that's the difference that I think we're making is it's not this transactional in and out project mentality. It's very much embedding into the organization until and, you know, enabling organizations to be able to support themselves and long term. And so, you know, building those relationships, establishing trust and, you know, working towards that greater kind of end goal is what it's all about.
Most definitely. I mean, obviously, talk about 300% growth. I mean, 297% growth. I'm saying 300 over the past year. It seems like the Pittsburgh market is reacting well to you. Is most of your business here in Pittsburgh? Are you obviously business around the country? Like, how's that working for you?
Yeah, we have we have business here in Pittsburgh, but Good. We also have business elsewhere.
Awesome.
I think from a startup perspective,
yeah,
the world has embraced startups.
It's
incredible. And I think a lot of it is because we are, I don't know if this is why or just the perspective that I have, we spend a lot of time in healthcare and manufacturing, and that's really where we want to focus.
Okay.
While we're young and opportunistic, we need to, you know, take advantage of lots of different opportunities.
Of course.
But I think, you know, if you think about the healthcare space and the manufacturing space,
especially manufacturing, so many manufacturers are just behind the curve,
and absolutely,
some very simple Salesforce integrations could probably drastically help a manufacturer.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. They're working. So many are working from spreadsheets.
I know, exactly.
You know, legacy act.
I think they come out on that paper that has the little dots on the side where you peel them off, you know, from a dot matrix printer or something. Right. Like, they're like, oh yes, sales are up.
Or it's just a lot of times through tribal knowledge and conversation.
Yeah, even worse, right? Yeah.
So yeah, it's been incredible. And that side of it is a lot of why, mm-hmm, I want to stay in those arenas, is because of there's just there's so much need there.
It's got to be rewarding to have that kind of impact as well, too,
and
to go in there and see you've actually made a difference for a client, right? It's more than just the sale and the thing, but actually knowing you made a business better, right?
That's the whole point. And
love it.
And we take it to the extent of actually measuring those results. And I think this is where the difference kind of comes in when you think about your traditional software implementation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have the opportunity to build tools into the Salesforce platform that measure.
How big
of a difference does your have you you know been able to see?
Oh, that's interesting, because everybody wants to see the data, like especially when it comes to like all things marketing, and it drives me nuts. But of course, like, I need to see the metrics. Like, no, you don't. But you're actually, I mean, talk about transparency. I mean, if you can go in there and say, as part of this implementation, you're going to be able to see the results.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
Love it.
Right. And I think it's important because so many, like you said earlier, so many organizations buy a product and mm-hmm. they never really see the complete
yeah.
return on their investment or the value.
That's
the or they worst. Don't understand how to use it. Right.
Exactly.
So I think it's really interesting.
Wow. So I love this. So you have clients in Pittsburgh, you have clients across the country, 300% growth. So you got to be feeling pretty good right now. But at the same time, it's always like, man, like, you're at the helm of this thing. You got to make sure it keeps running. Like, it's got to be kind of stressful.
Extraordinarily.
Yeah. Yes. How do you deal with the stress?
That's a great question. You know, it's interesting. You know, I look at the growth and I look at the scale and I think about the future and mm-hmm. I plan. And it's a constant go, 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 go.
Of course.
Me personally, I think mental health is everything.
Absolutely.
And I think it should be much more normalized. And it's starting to become a little bit more normalized, especially through COVID.
Yeah, it's one good thing of COVID is it's definitely allowed people to chill out a little bit more and realize that there's more to life than just working 24/7.
Yeah, and I think so to me, that's everything. And, mm-hmm. you know, things like meditation, mm-hmm. exercise,
yeah.
being outdoors.
Heck yeah.
In a forest, you know, whatever.
I was going to say that. Being in the trees, man.
Yes.
That to me is the best. You get on your bike and ride through the forest or hike through the forest or something about it. It's like, gives you a little perspective, a little unwinding time, definitely.
And it's important. And so we have a super flexible culture as well. And everybody is encouraged to take that time off. We have an unlimited PTO policy.
Whoa.
And
are you hiring any part-time podcast hosts?
We should have a conversation.
Okay.
And I think it's, you know, I just encourage that with everyone.
Most
because
definitely.
I think people can do their best work when they have peace mm-hmm. of mind and in a lot of different areas of their lives, and life happens.
Most
and I
definitely.
Think we have to be realistic and start to normalize those conversations. So
I love
not
that
so
attitude.
Taboo.
There's one thing that I've learned over, oh my God, I hate saying this, quarter of a century of talking to entrepreneurs and tech people. It's like, it's always this go, 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 go. It's the company at all costs. It doesn't matter. Like, and it's like, I get it, but sometimes like it just chews people up and it spits them out. So I love hearing the fact that you're embracing this. Yeah, we're going to kick butt at every corner, but there's human beings involved here and they need to rest a little bit too.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Especially in a services business.
Yes.
People are.
I was going to say, right. At the end of the day, like your people have to be fresh and excited and energized and working with that client and making them happy and knowing that their project is going well and coming up with the best solutions. As simple as that. So very cool. So here's a question for you. I always wonder about this. Maybe you're not to this point yet, but you probably soon will be. And one thing I've always seen is tough for people when you start something. At a certain point, you got to start letting some things go and let other people handle it. Are you reaching that point yet where you got to take some responsibilities that normally you'd only trust yourself to do? And then all of a sudden you got to give it to somebody else?
100%. Yep.
Yeah. That's gotta be tough.
It's always tough.
Cause I'm a control freak, man. Like I'd be like, only I can do this.
And you think that.
Right.
And it's usually because you have a certain way of doing it.
Right. Right.
But what you're missing out on is when other people do it, things are presented to you that you may not have thought of.
That's a good point. Right, right, right.
And it depends on the person.
Of course.
And it's just so important. You've got to let those things play out. And people learn better by doing most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to empower people to do those things. Otherwise, not only will you drive yourself crazy, but you won't grow. And you won't encourage other
good
people
point.
To take responsibility and be able to help build because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And
yeah.
I think people understanding that they're a part of that is important.
Most definitely.
And people feeling like they are contributing is important. And so people that feel micromanaged and don't have the freedom to actually execute or come up with their own ideas.
Absolutely.
It's limiting.
And that the cool part is like people have different ideas. They can be so additive to your company. But yeah, it's that letting go and embracing, but at the same time being like, I'm not totally letting go. But I guess you got to totally let go at some point.
I would describe it as like a subconscious.
Ooh, okay.
You know, it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep a pulse on things.
I love it. Most definitely.
But you've also have to trust. You have to trust that people are, delivering and stay in touch with them and make sure that people have the support that they need in
yeah.
order to be successful. And then you can collaboratively be successful.
Well, who's your support? I mean, do you have any mentors, people that you lean on, friends, family, former coworkers, former bosses? Like, because
yeah.
it's tough at the top, right? I mean, because everyone's looking at you. They're like, Jordan. And you're like, you got to say somebody. So who do you look up to?
That is the truth. It is, humbling to say
yeah.
the least. For me, I am so fortunate to have an amazing relationship with my mother.
Excellent.
She's been more than a mentor
I
for
love
me.
It. Very cool.
My entire life and still continues to be.
So you're like, Mom.
You'd think, the perspective from, people that are much older, the perspective from people who have lived it.
Yep.
The perspective from just different ways of living even is just so important. So she's been very much a huge influence in my life around how to, stay empathetic when you're frustrated, how to, continue even after you fail, how to expect failure.
Yeah. And learn from it and stuff
and
too.
Learn
like
from
that,
it
right?
and get back up and do those things. So,
awesome.
So she's been a huge influence.
Your mom sounds pretty awesome then.
She is.
Very
she
cool.
She is. I'll say that for sure. And also, people that I've worked for and with
mm-hmm.
over the years, I stay in touch. I
Good.
Try to make sure to keep those relationships built and, solid. And also like-minded people that share similar interests. And I also, I've noticed throughout my life, if I look at my groups of friends, they're all incredibly different from different walks of life.
That's cool.
Different
right.
interests, different, and at one point in my life, I remember thinking, what would it be like to bring them all together?
Ooh.
It would be so.
You should try that sometime.
And I have.
Oh, okay.
I've done
I was going to say,
like
you
that.
Get to have like a New Year's Eve party or something like that. Like you're all coming over to my house. All right.
It's been interesting. It's interesting. But to me, I think learning and understanding different perspectives helps to keep people grounded, but helps to keep you more open-minded and more understanding and more empathetic because now we can only do what we know and we can only understand what we know. So it's so important to expand that and listen to other people's experiences.
Great attitude, man. That's why you're kicking some butt. That's why you got 300% growth. Simple as that. And that's why we're super stoked you're here in Pittsburgh building True Summit Solutions. It's such a cool story. I think you offered so much great advice to anyone out there thinking about building their own company. Like, give it a shot, especially while you're young. Great stuff. Anything we haven't covered that people need to know about you, about the company, about what you're doing here in Pittsburgh? If anyone wants to learn more about True Summit and any needs you might have, what else do we need to know, Jordan?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I could go on and on, but I know we only have so much time. No, I think, you know, this has been really great. This conversation, really enjoyed it with you, Jonathan. You know, as far as I'm concerned, what we're after is adding value to organizations at the end of the day and helping people feel like they're getting what they purchased.
I love it.
That's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
I got to use my signature tagline. Jordan, you're making Pittsburgh proud. That is for sure. We're glad you're here doing it because it's making Pittsburgh a better place. When people roll around town, they wonder, why is Pittsburgh doing so well? It's because there's women like Jordan out here starting companies, for crying out loud, hiring people, helping other companies make money with her solutions. So good stuff. Thanks for being part of our Pittsburgh Founders Series brought to you by Huntington Bank. Just love having these conversations. Jordan, you're the best.
Thanks, Jonathan.